Hello, good everyone, and welcome back to the Dion Gordon Podcast. I'm your host, the connoisseur of common sense, the purveyor of authenticity, showing much flex when it's time to wreck a mic, pimping hoes, and clocking a grip like my name was Dolomite, Dion Tyre Gordon. Enough of the bullshit, let's get the word. Joe Biden, where the fuck is my money at? If I remember correctly, you told people on January the 4th, when you were down in the great state of Georgia, campaigning for Reverend Warnock and John Ossoff to win their Senate runoff races. If I remember correctly, if I recall, you told these people in the great state of Georgia, you told the American people in general, that if they vote for Warnock and Ossoff, if the Democrats win the Senate runoff, that they could expect $2,000 stimulus checks to fly off the shelves immediately. Joe Biden, you said this January the 4th. Today is currently March 2nd, 2 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, Pacific Standard Coast Time. And still no fucking stimulus checks. Last time I checked, immediately meant right fucking now. Immediately didn't mean 2 or 3 months down the road whenever we get around to it. You said $2,000 stimulus checks would fly off the shelves immediately if they voted Democrat. And the people did. And they believed you. And they bought into what you were saying. They believed the hype. So where was the money, Joe? You said $2,000 stimulus checks would fly off the shelves immediately. And the people in the great state of Georgia believed what you were saying. They went out to the polls. They voted for Warnock. They voted for Ossoff. They got Kelly Loeffler and the other douchebag the fuck up out of here. They voted Democrat. And as a result, Democrats now have a majority in the House and the Senate with a Democratic president and vice president. You control the White House, the House, and the Senate. Two-thirds of the branches of government are run by the Democrats, legislative and executive. The judicial and the Supreme Court is heavily conservative. That belongs to the people on the right. But Democrats control the executive and legislative. You have control of the House, Senate, and White House. You have the power and the authority to facilitate these $2,000 stimulus checks out the door to people as you guaranteed, as you promised, and you have failed to deliver on. What's the holdup? What is taking so long? You know, I tried to be nice to Joe Biden and try not to be critical of him throughout his first month. I tried to at least give him 30 days. Well, that deadline's come and gone. It's been past 30 days. It's time to pay up. It's time to collect. Where are the receipts at? You lied to the people in the state of Georgia. And it's crazy because the state of Georgia helped Joe Biden win the election. The tireless effort and work of Stacey Abrams to register people to vote, black people in particular to vote. The work of Keisha Lance Bottoms, a black woman who's the mayor of Atlanta. Atlanta and black people in particular helped Joe Biden get elected. And how did he repay them? He went down there and lied to their faces. He went down there and he promised people that $2,000 stimulus checks would fly off the shelves immediately if Warnock and Ossoff won the Senate runoff, which they did. And those checks are much like Dr. Dre's Chronic 2001. People are still waiting on that shit. Those checks are nowhere to be seen, nowhere to be found. And to add insult to injury, apparently, it wasn't going to be $2,000 like he originally promised. Now it's $1,400 because the Republicans, because you already got $600 back in December from the Trump administration, from the Republicans. So because you already got $600 in December, now he wants to shortchange you and give you $2,000. I can tell you right now, if you try to do something similar to that on a street level, let's say, hypothetically speaking, you owe someone $20, right? And you told this brother, hey, so-and-so, Tyrone already gave you $6 2 or 3 months ago. So I don't need to pay you back the 20 I owe you. I'll just give you 14. You know what would happen in that situation? You get your monkey ass whipped. You get earth, wind, fire, and ice beaten out of you. If you told a motherfucker, if you knew that you owe somebody $20, let's say you lost a bet, whatever, you had to pay somebody $20. You owe somebody $20. And then when push came to shove and the rubber met the road, you told that person, so-and-so already gave you the six. I'm going to give you 14. I promise you, that would be an ugly situation for you. I would not advise doing that. If you owe somebody $20, give them the $20 to save an ass whooping. Joe Biden promised the American people, and in particular the people of Georgia, $2,000, and now he's trying to shortchange people by only giving them $1,400. That even further insult the injury. There was a big controversy about means testing, about only certain categories, demographics of people will be privy to getting the stimulus checks. If you made, originally the threshold was $75,000 a year. That was the threshold when Trump was in office. Biden and Manchin and the rest of these nefarious, worthless, garbage Democrats tried to bullshit it down to $50,000 and also base it off your 2019 tax return. There's a lot of things wrong with that. There is a plethora of things wrong with that. First of all, we are in the middle of a global pandemic. In case anyone has forgotten or in case anyone doesn't notice, we're in the middle of a global pandemic that has ruined everyone's lives and has dramatically altered your lives. So the base, whether or not you can receive a $2,000 stimulus check off your 2019 tax return is bullshit because many people, millions of people, have lost their jobs that they had for 2019 and are in dire straits. They're in financial peril right now. So it's really unfair to base it off what someone's income was of the 2019 tax return because many people, like I said, have lost their jobs and are making that kind of money right now. People are hurting. And, you know, to me, it should be a no-brainer. It's so stupid to even talk about this, to say it out loud. This is, from a political standpoint, this is fucking stupid. Joe Biden came into the White House, was sworn in January 21st. He came in with an unprecedented amount of love and support and adulation and admiration from the people. 83 million people voted for this guy. He had an approval rating of 63% when he took office on January 21st, and it's still pretty high. People still love Joe Biden. He still has a lot of support from a lot of people, all the blue MAGA, vote blue, no matter who people. They still love Joe Biden. He's the highest, most exalted. You can't say anything bad about him. Someone like me, I'm speaking out of turn right now. I'm being an asshole. I'm wrong for even calling this shit out because that's how beloved Joe Biden is. You watch cable news networks like MSNBC and CNN. Every day they're taking a victory lap. They're waving the pom-poms for Joe Biden. There's no negative stories whatsoever about Joe Biden on CNN and MSNBC. It's the love affair. The honeymoon still exists. So you have all this goodwill, this high approval rating, 83 million people voted for you. The right thing to do would be to further extend, ride that wave. That would have been the right thing to do. Build on that support. Embrace the fact that everyone loves you right now. You can do no wrong. Give people the stimulus checks immediately, right out the gate, right from the very beginning. You capitalize on all the goodwill that you have, the high approval rating, and you can stick it to Trump. Because in 10 months of Trump being in office during the pandemic, he only gave American people under his regime, under his administration, $1,800. A $1,200 check back in April and a $600 check back in December. If I'm Joe Biden, $2,000 stimulus check would have been the very first thing I would have done, and I would have called a press conference or said something on Twitter ridiculing Trump, and I would have said explicitly, hey, this guy was in office for 10 months during this pandemic, and he only gave you guys $1,800, and he broke it up in two separate payments between April and December of 2020. He gave you $1,200 one time. He gave you $600 another time. That's insufficient. That's not enough. Already 1 week on the job, and I've already given the American people $2,000. In 1 week, I've already beaten what Donald Trump tried to do or couldn't do in 10 months. It's an easy win. It's a layup. It's an alley-oop. It's a walk-in touchdown. It's an empty net in hockey. It's a bases-loaded walk. This is an easy fucking win politically. Even if you don't give a fuck about the American people, in particular working class, middle class, blue-collar American people, regular, everyday, average Joes. If you politically, even if you fundamentally don't give a fuck about those people, politically, you could have scored an easy win by giving people $2,000 stimulus checks right out the gate and then saying Donald Trump in 10 months only gave you $1,800. I've been on the job for a week. I already got $2,000 checks going out the door, and I fulfilled my campaign promise that I made to the people in the state of Georgia on January the 4th. How do you fumble this bag? How do you fuck this up? Jesus Christ, these Democrats are fucking stupid and worthless. God damn. You guys got the juice now. How do y'all consistently keep fucking this up? Why does Joe Manchin even exist? How is Joe Biden allowed to be so stupid? Where's Kamala Harris at in all this? About a year ago, she was talking about giving people $2,000 stimulus checks, recurring stimulus checks every month. She's awful quiet now. You know, when she was still running for president and only polling 4% in the polls and getting her ass kicked badly, coming in about fifth or sixth, but she was all about stimulus checks when she was doing that, when she was trying to get the White House herself. And then when she was trying to lock up a VP nomination, same thing. She was all about the stimulus checks. Now, quieter than a mouse pissing on cotton. Kamala Harris ain't got shit to say now publicly about stimulus checks. Where's Obama at? Obama still has the Barack Obama has the loudest voice in the Democratic Party. Even though Biden is president, Obama is still the biggest star in the Democratic Party. If Biden says jump, the rest of these motherfuckers will say how high. He's more powerful than the Clintons. He's more powerful than the Kennedys. Right now, he's more powerful than Biden. He's more powerful than anybody. Pelosi, Schumer, Kamala, Buttigieg, whoever else you want to name in the Democratic stratosphere, Klobuchar, Liz Warren, whoever. Barack Obama's voice still has the most weight. Have you heard Barack Obama say anything about stimulus checks or raising the federal minimum wage to $15? Have you heard him say anything in regards to actual substantive policies that will help out American people? Of course you have not, because when he was in office for 8 years himself, he did nothing to help out regular, everyday, average Joes. So why would he give a fuck now that he's out of office? He's too busy pimping books and selling Netflix deals. As I said on this podcast before, the only time Barry finds his voice is whenever Bernie Sanders looks like he's about to win, and then Barry will speak up and destroy and crush Bernie Sanders and the progressive left just to make sure we maintain the status quo and corporate establishment Democrats can win and maintain and restore order. That's the only time you'll hear Barry talk. Donald Trump spent 4 years shitting on Barack Obama, deriding, ridiculing, mocking, chastising Barack Obama every opportunity he got. Both to a microphone and on Twitter. Any opportunity Trump got to shit on Obama, he took full advantage of that. Obama said nothing about it. But I digress. Joe Biden claims to have his hands tied in regards to giving people $2,000 stimulus checks. He also claims to have his hands tied on raising the federal minimum wage to $15 per hour. The White House is now saying that they don't have the votes to do much of anything, insinuating that Joe Biden, who occupies the world's most powerful office, somehow has no power to try to change the legislative dynamic, and the spin is being predictably amplified across social media. Not only is it being amplified on social media, it's being also amplified on cable news networks, as I pointed out earlier, or they're just being quiet about it. But the biggest reason you can't get any traction on the $15 federal minimum wage being raised are because of two low-life, worthless, piece-of-shit, fraudulent Democrats, right-wing Democrat from the state of West Virginia, one of the poorest states in the country, Joe Manchin, and then Kristen Sinema represents the state of Arizona. Both of these people are fucking worthless. Joe Manchin's a cocksucker. Kristen Sinema is a low-life cunt. These people are trying to stop regular, average, everyday folks from improving their lives and just having enough money to survive and make it in this world. It is absolutely preposterous. It's even more preposterous when you think about the fact that Biden came into office. One of the things you kept hearing Biden say many, many times on the campaign trail is that he's the only guy that can reach across the aisle and get deals done with Republicans. He can get bipartisan support on whatever he wants to get done. He's the only guy that can do it. Bernie Sanders couldn't do it. Klobuchar couldn't do it. Liz Warren couldn't do it. No one else in the galaxy could reach across the aisle and get deals done other than Joe Biden. So it looks especially hypocritical when you see that they're not getting this $15 federal minimum wage done. They're not getting $2,000 stimulus checks done. And they're coming up with bullshit, phony-ass excuses for why they can't get it done. A Senate parliamentarian who, at the discretion of the president, can either be overruled or just straight-up fired. To me, it's just another example of they can get things done when they want to. It's just that they don't really care about this, so they don't want to. But when they want to get things done, they'll get it done. If it benefits or serves them, if it puts money in their pocket, it's okay. If it appeases Wall Street, it's fine. If it satisfies the Pentagon, great. If it, you know, pleases big corporations and big banks, that's awesome. But if it means taking care of the regular, everyday, working-class Joe, fuck them. Pull yourself up by the bootstraps and make something out of yourself. You expect that type of ideology from Republicans. The Democrats are allegedly supposed to be the party of the people. But the Democrats are showing you each day, whether you want to see it or not, whether you want to believe it or not, whether you want to know it or not, the Democrats are showing you on a daily basis they are just as complicit in this bullshit as Republicans are. They are just as bad as Republicans are. They are just as devious, nefarious, and mendacious as Republicans are. They don't give a fuck about you. All they give a fuck about is themselves, their pockets, and who's paying them, and satisfying whoever's paying them to keep those checks coming in. And that's the way it is now. That's the way it always will be. That's the way it always has been. Washington will forever be fucked up. I tell people this all the time. The only way to fix politics is to get the money out of politics. But as long as you have the money in politics, nothing will fundamentally change. The same problems will still exist. One side will give you empty platitudes. The other side will talk about Jesus and the Constitution, and meanwhile will still be stuck in a fucked up country where a 7-year-old girl has to sell lemonade to fund her own brain surgery. And yes, that's a true story. And that's the country we live in. As long as you have politics and money in politics and capitalism, none of this shit will fundamentally change. I'm sorry, hate to be the bearer of bad news, but I'd call it like I see it. To further illustrate my point about how this is the way things have always been, I was reading earlier a tremendous, well-written article in the Guardian by David Sirota talking about the same subject I'm talking about now, about the $15 minimum wage and the $2,000 stimulus checks and Biden's overall ineptitude and mendacity about the whole situation. But Sirota pointed out that there's a historical precedent to this. Going back to 1964, to Lyndon Baines Johnson, who took over as president after Kennedy was assassinated, Sirota wrote, in 1964, Johnson was trying to pass Medicare, but two conservative Democratic senators threatened to take down the entire legislation over a tax issue. In a story flagged by economist Stephanie Kelton, the New York Times noted that months before that legislation passed, opponents proposed a large and popular increase in Social Security benefits and taxes, which would have made passage of new Medicare taxes almost impossible. At the last minute, Senators George Smathers of Florida and Russell Long of Louisiana, both Democrats but Medicare opponents, switched and voted to save Medicare. Quote, Lyndon told me to, Senator Smathers explained. The pivotal story was recounted in more detail in The Heart of Power by Harvard University's David Blumenthal, a former Obama administration official, and Brown University's James Marone. They noted that presidents can play a particularly unique role in these situations, and they warned against presidents who refuse to leverage their offices to push their agendas. Johnson knew there was an indispensable role that only he could play. He could best publicize the idea, build support, jawbone interest groups in the line, and organize and lobby the congressional coalition. When reporters asked Senator Smathers why he had switched his vote and salvaged the administration's Medicare proposal in 1964, he responded simply, Lyndon Johnson told me to. Presidents win complicated reforms by doing what the office of the presidency is uniquely designed for, publicizing and persuading. There is, of course, a danger at the other extreme, that of the disengaged executive. The president chooses his analysts, gives them directions, and decides when the debate is over. The staff always knows when the boss has lost interest, and the issue, no matter how well staffed, is probably doomed. So let's bring this back to 2021. That was in 1964 with Medicare. Let's bring this to 2021 with $15 minimum wage and $2,000 stimulus checks. Let's take part of that quote. Presidents win complicated reforms by doing what the office of the presidency is uniquely designed for, publicizing and persuading. How much persuasion do you think that Joe Biden is giving to Kristen Sinema and Joe Manchin? Not a whole lot. Probably none. If you really wanted these two senators to move on this issue, just apply some pressure on them publicly, embarrass them, ridicule them, show up in their district, go to West Virginia, go to Arizona and tell those people, your senator, your elected official doesn't want you to get a fair, livable working wage. Apply that pressure to them. If it was something that Joe really wanted to get done, he would get it done. He would have already applied that pressure. If there was two Democratic senators who were obstructing what he wanted to do, he would have already applied pressure to them. He doesn't give a fuck about you getting a fair, livable working wage, so he's not going to really apply any type of serious pressure to Sinema or Manchin. Like I said earlier, Joe Manchin has unprecedented levels and amount of popularity and support from the American people. 83 million people voted for you, 63% approval rating. You got more influence and more power than any politician in the free world. You can push these people around. If it was any type of reform or agenda that you actually gave a fuck about, he would best believe he'd throw his weight around. Anytime Democrats come to a fork in the road, they quit. Anytime there's the slightest bit of adversity comes up, they quit. They just retreat. They go back on their word. It doesn't take much because they don't really want to do it in the first place. So this is basically a convenient excuse. Manchin and Sinema being obstructionists, the Senate parliamentarian. These are all convenient, fun excuses for Democrats. Just another way to say, well, we tried, but we couldn't do it because so-and-so said this and this person said that. We couldn't get the votes, so we have to give up and move on to whatever's next. Infrastructure. It's always infrastructure. It's always, let's move on to infrastructure. They always talk about infrastructure. Meanwhile, the streets, roads, bridges, everything in America is collapsing, crumbling, fucked up, breaking apart. But it's always infrastructure. Where is the infrastructure at? Just like the minimum wage. Where is that at? Just like the $2,000 stimulus checks. Where is that at? We don't have money. to help out people, to improve people, improve the quality of people's everyday lives. But we do have money to launch airstrikes in Syria, because politicians love nothing more than to blow up innocent brown people in foreign countries. We have plenty of money for that. We'll always have money for that. As legendary street philosopher, street poet Tupac Shakur once said, "We got money for wars, but we can't feed the poor." And Tupac said that in 1996. 25 years later, it's still as relevant and appropriate as ever. We got money for wars, but we can't feed the poor. Last Thursday, President Corn Pop ordered airstrikes on buildings in Syria that the Pentagon said were used by Iranian-backed militias in retaliation for rocket attacks on U.S. targets in neighboring Iraq. The strikes killed at least 22 people, London-based Syrian Observatory for Human Rights said on Friday, citing unconfirmed local reports. Pentagon Press Secretary John Kirby portrayed the bombing in eastern Syria as carefully calibrated, calling it proportionate and defensive. Kirby told reporters Friday the bombing caused casualties, but said it was too early to precisely know how many militia fighters might have been killed or wounded. "We have preliminary indications of casualties on site. I'm not going any further than that," Kirby said. The operation was the first known use of military force by the Biden administration, which has for weeks emphasized plans to focus more on challenges posed by China. This does not surprise me at all. The Pentagon got $740 billion back in December. You can't give somebody $740 billion and just let them sit on it. You spend that money, you got to get some return on your investment, right? You got to get some receipts. You got to go overseas and blow up some innocent brown people. And a lot of people will defend this and say, well, you know, the U.S. had to retaliate because they attacked us first. Well, you wouldn't get attacked if you weren't over there in the first place. We've been fighting this endless, nonstop, nonsensical war since 2003 with Iraq and with Afghanistan and Iran and Syria, all these Middle Eastern countries. We've been fighting these people since the early 2000s, since I was in high school. I was in high school when we started this bullshit, 2003. And this ongoing fight's been going on. If the U.S. didn't insist on being imperialist bullies who want to stick their nose in everyone's business, then maybe those soldiers, those airmen, whoever was over there wouldn't have got attacked. You know, just a thought. That's just me thinking out loud. The United States wants to be the police for the rest of the world and bully and impose their will on everybody else, and nothing good comes out of that. Hundreds of thousands of dead bodies, both men and women in uniform, and innocent women and children in Middle Eastern countries, innocent men, women, and children in Middle Eastern countries. We got all this money. Like I said, $740 billion went to the Pentagon in December. So it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out what's going to happen next. We're going to bomb somebody sooner afterwards. And all it took was 2 months. All it took was 2 months. We bombed Syria before people got $2,000 stimulus checks. To me, that's unconscionable. But at the same time, it's par for the course. It's expected. It's what this country is built and founded upon: violence, corruption, taking shit from somebody else, and destroying people's lives. It literally built this country. The military-industrial complex will always take precedence over the needs, thoughts, and concerns and integrities of regular working-class Americans. They will always find money for the Pentagon, but for the average Joe, like I said earlier, fuck you. Pull yourself up by the bootstraps and make something out of yourself. You know, it's not like we haven't been given fair warning about the dangers and the perils of the military-industrial complex. 34th President of the United States of America, Dwight D. Eisenhower, in his famous speech as he was transitioning out of the office, warned us about the implications of giving too much power to the military-industrial complex. He said, and I quote, "This conjunction of an immense military establishment and a large arms industry is new in the American experience. The total influence, economic, political, even spiritual, is felt in every city, every state house, every office of the federal government. We recognize the imperative need for this development. Yet, we must not fail to comprehend its grave implications. Our toil, resources, and livelihood are all involved. So is the very structure of our society. In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex. The potential for a disastrous rise of misplaced power exists and will persist. We must never let the weight of the combination endanger our liberties or democratic processes. We should take nothing for granted. Only an alert and knowledgeable citizenry can compel the proper meshing of the huge industrial and military machinery of defense with our peaceful methods and goals, so that security and liberty may prosper together." Eisenhower gave that speech over 60 years ago. Clearly, Joe Biden's not listening. Clearly, every president since Eisenhower is not listening. Trump, Obama, Clinton, Bush, Reagan, fill in the blank, whoever, Nixon. Clearly none of these people were listening. In fact, 12 presidents since Eisenhower have engaged in bombs, drone strikes, military action, abusing the military-industrial complex, etc. Obama led the league in drone strikes. Obama had 10 times more drone strikes than George Bush. Young Barack Obama would hate old Barack Obama. Young Barack Obama was an anti-nuclear war activist. And then he grows up to become the Patrick Mahomes of drone strikes, just dropping bombs left and right. You know, you look at a guy like Trump. Now, Trump, of course, is a career bullshitter, the greatest liar of all time, the most mendacious president we've ever had, and that's saying something. But Trump pledged and said he was going to end the wars overseas and bring our troops home. Trump increased airstrikes by 330% when he was in office. In the six decades since Eisenhower's farewell address, the United States has woefully fallen behind on things that matter more, like education, healthcare, clean energy, etc. The United States has wasted an astonishing $1.5 trillion on an aircraft called the F-35. At the same time, we saddled middle-class people with $1.7 trillion in college debt. That's something else that Biden could have erased. Biden, from day one, could have erased the student debt by himself. He chose not to because it doesn't matter, because it's not profitable. It's not lucrative to people like him. This country has spent 10 times the amount of money on the military than the next, I don't know, five countries combined. Like, we overspend on the military. And, you know, I used to be in the military. I'm a four-year veteran of the United States Navy. I can tell you firsthand, that money don't come. It doesn't trickle down. Just like trickle-down economics, it doesn't work. It's a farce. If you're, you know, I was a enlisted, you know, junior enlisted personnel in the Navy. I didn't go very far. I was in for 4 years. I didn't make a whole lot of money in the Navy. Nobody did. If you're that low on the pay scale, you got to start ranking up to be like a first class or a chief in the Navy, something like that, to make a little bit of money. I don't know, maybe if you move off base, you can get BAH and things like that, basic housing allowance, and pocket some money off of that. But for the most part, I mean, you don't join the Navy to cash out. You don't join the military in general to cash out, make a lot of money. You join, well, the reason I joined is to set yourself up for the rest of your life and to add to your resume and things of that nature. But people in the military, the men and women in uniform who are doing the work or putting their lives and bodies on the line, don't receive the bulk of the benefits. But the people at the Pentagon or people who work for Raytheon, like the current Secretary of Defense, Lloyd Austin, they'll get paid. They'll get theirs. They'll be just fine. You ain't got to worry about them. But like I said, the men and women in uniform who do the bulk of the work, the junior enlisted in the military do the bulk of the manual labor. They're not making a whole lot of money. I can tell you that from personal experience. I was talking to a friend of mine who's still in, and I straight up asked him. I said, you know, with all this money that the Pentagon's taking, with that $740 billion that they got back in December, has there been any talk about raising the pay scale for enlisted military personnel, and military personnel in general, enlisted officers, whatever? He told me not much of a pay raise. As a matter of fact, there's an article in Military Times that was published on December 26, 2020, that said the military pay raise is likely to be smaller next year. So there's all this money to spend. You can spend $1.5 trillion on this one piece of aircraft, but you can't give a significant pay raise to the men and women who will be flying, working, and maintaining that aircraft. This is one of the reasons why I got the fuck out. That's all bullshit. You're being exploited when you're in uniform. But the people who are actively exploiting you are sitting in a cushy air-conditioned office, pocketing millions of dollars, billions of dollars in some instances, while you put your life and body on the line for a couple hundred dollars on the 1st and 15th. I say these things because I'm a part of the middle class. I've been middle class, blue collar my entire life. Like I said, I was a 4-year veteran in the United States Navy. I care about the people in my tax bracket, the people who I closely relate to, the people I see and talk to every day, the people I was raised by and grew up with, the friends of mine that I've had, the people I went to school with, the guys I served in the military with. We are the underdogs. We are the regular working class Americans who make up and build this country and sustain this country and keep it going. And the people at the top look down their nose at us with the utmost contempt and offer us empty platitudes and have the audacity to lie to our faces about any type of substance that can directly impact and affect and better our lives. That's why I take so much offense to this. That's why I do podcasts about it. It's why the majority of my conversations in regular everyday life are about shit like this, because it fucking pisses me off. You guys at the top are pocketing so much money, with the regular folks in the middle and at the bottom struggling, suffering, scraping through, trying to get by, trying to do their best to live and keep their head above water. But these people got theirs, and that's the mentality that they exist with on a daily basis. I got mine. You need to focus on getting yours. History tells us this is not a way to sustain a society. This doesn't work. Current modern day history tells us this doesn't work. You have to take care of the middle class, the people in the middle and the bottom. You have to take care and sustain those people, or else eventually this whole thing just crumbles and folds. We're pretty much on the brink of right now. When you have the current commander-in-chief, the president of the United States of America, the most powerful man in the free world, being as mendacious as possible and lying to people to their faces and denying people benefits that will help dramatically change their lives, you know, it's frustrating. It's infuriating for me to see that, because it doesn't have to be this way. It really doesn't. But you got corrupt and greedy people at the top who just want to maintain the status quo. And truthfully, you got people in the middle and the bottom who are just as complicit in this as they are, because they're fucking, you got people on our level, people on the regular person level, who just enjoy this type of shit. They lap it up. Like I said on a previous podcast, that hero worship, that idolatry, that adulation that I saw on Inauguration Day was fucking sickening. But you got people who treat these politicians like they're celebrities, like they're heroes. And it doesn't make any sense to me. He's not a football player. He's a president. He's not a rapper. He's not a singer. He's not an actor. He's the president of the United States of America. Joe Manchin's a senator, so on and so forth. If they're in D.C., they've been elected by their constituents, by American people, by the people in their district, county, wherever they come from, their state. They've been put there by taxpayers to do a job for American taxpayers, and they consistently don't do that job. And not enough people hold these people accountable. Instead, we got people clapping their hands, waving their pom-poms, and accepting this bullshit that's right in front of their face just because it's not the other guy. Just because it's not the mean, fat, orange dude who's an asshole to people on Twitter, that all this nefarious shit coming from the Biden administration, all these lies, deceit, and corruption coming from this administration with only a little bit over a month on the job, and people just lap it up like it's okay, like it's fine. No, it's not fine. Your president lied to you on a basic campaign promise. He lied to you twice, multiple times he lied to you. He lied to Bernie Sanders. When Bernie dropped out last April, when Bernie conceded the Democratic nomination to Joe Biden, they had a Zoom call together. They were both on screen together. And Joe directly asked Bernie, is there anything that you would like? And Bernie said, I'm very adamant about the $15 minimum wage. And I would like to see the $15 minimum wage come into effect, because I believe that people should exist and live on a sustainable working, living wage to have their dignities affirmed and to give themselves a chance. Bernie said that, and Joe agreed, and now Joe is the president and has reneged on his promise to Bernie Sanders and one of his campaign promises. He spoke about that when he was on the campaign trail. He was very adamant himself about raising the federal minimum wage to $15. Lied to the people in the state of Georgia about the $2,000 stimulus checks, even though those people helped get him elected in the first place, in particular, black people in the state of Georgia, in Atlanta, in Fulton County. The work of Stacey Abrams, the work of Keisha Lance Bottoms, the work of black people to show up to the polls, poor black frontline essential workers, people who on a daily basis put themselves at risk of coronavirus and put themselves at further risk to stand in line and vote for Joe Biden. Those people were lied to. And if you don't feel, you know, it's one thing if you're not so politically inclined, it's one thing if you're not a political nerd like I am, but if you don't understand and hear these things I'm saying and process it and think to yourself, this is fucked up. If you don't have an issue with this, if you're one of those pink pussy hat wearing liberals who've gone back to brunch ever since Trump left and Biden took office, if you think that everything is okay, I don't know what to say to you. Clearly, you're not paying attention. You lack empathy. You lack awareness. I don't know what to say to you. If you think that everything just magically became okay, all the problems in America were fixed on January 20th, 21st, whatever day it was, I don't know what to say to you. I look at politics like this. Politics to me is similar to sports. Everyone has their favorite team, and they'll root for that team no matter what, and they'll defend that team no matter what. You know, I'm a 49er fan. That's my favorite football team. Been watching, listening, and following this podcast long enough. You should know that. You have people who are just defend the 49ers no matter what they do, no matter what idiotic, dumbass move was made by the front office, no matter what terrible player we have on a team who should have been gone a year or two ago, no matter how much they stink it up every Sunday, they will defend the 49ers no matter what. And it's like that for every team in every sport. You have diehard fans who defend their team no matter how inept and worthless they might be. That's your team. That's who you roll with. When you sit down and watch a football game every Sunday, you're rooting for the 49ers. You're rooting for the Bears. You're rooting for the Eagles. You're rooting for the Steelers, etc. People have this tribal relationship with their favorite team, and politics is the same way. People have this tribal, obedient relationship with their favorite political party and are naive and delusional and completely blind to the facts and think that the other side is the cause of all the problems and that your side, your team, the team you root for, they're virtuous, they do the right thing at any and all times, they don't fuck anything up, they always got the people's best interests in mind, and they're not corrupt and they're not subservient to their corporate donors and everything else. If you believe that, I have a beachfront property I want to sell to you in Frederick, Maryland, because that's all complete bullshit. But like I said, as long as you have money in politics, none of this shit will fundamentally change. It's our reality. It's what we have to deal with and what we have to live with. As long as you're in this country, you will deal. As long as we have a two-party corporate duopoly of Republicans and Democrats who just control everything, as long as you have corporate donors in politics, nothing will fundamentally change. The status quo will always remain the same, and we'll still have these same problems, and people like me will continue to complain about it. As a podcaster, it gives me great content. As a human being, it pisses me off. These are just the continued ramifications of taking the red pill. You can take the blue pill and live in continued ignorance for the rest of your life. Ignorance is bliss. Or you can take the red pill and you can find out all this shit is fucked up. For whatever reason, I chose to take the red pill, and now I've been exposed to this unpleasant and uncomfortable truth. But that's fine. Like I said, it makes for great podcast content. It makes for entertainment and everything else. So hopefully you all continue to choose to take the red pill and acquire some knowledge and, you know, embolden yourself and intellectually empower yourself and become aware to what the fuck is going on. Or you can take the blue pill and just, like I said, remain in blissful ignorance and just go through life happy, happy-go-lucky, kumbaya, everything's fine. Let's go back to brunch. Either way, the choice is yours. Hopefully you do make the choice to listen to the Dion Gordon podcast. That is the end of this version of the Dion Gordon podcast. Picture me rolling. I'm out.